Now, the name of the message is a continuation of the last one. It's Hope for the Hopeless, Part 2. Now, my hope is that whoever's listened to this is invested in a Bible by now. You know? And the last time I made mention how the only way you're going to know a person's telling you anything, it doesn't matter, is if you check it out for yourself. Otherwise, you're believing them, you're believing me, you're believing whatever you've been taught. You just assume that, yeah, they told you the truth. And considering they may be telling you the truth, they may just not know the truth or the whole truth. So let's begin. In Psalm 119:105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." All right. Now, I would recommend that before you read, you ask the Holy Spirit to open up your heart, your eyes, your understanding to His Word. The Word of God is not like any other book you're ever going to read. And in a natural, you won't understand it. But if you ask the Lord to do that for you, guess what? A miracle takes place. And what you didn't understand before, now you do. I also always suggest you start at the book of John. And then you can go through all the way through Revelation, and then start at Genesis and all the way to Revelations and so on and so forth. But we're talking about hope. Now, whether you're hoping for money, a spouse, a better education, the bottom line remains the same. You're talking about a better life. You want more money to have a better life. You want a wonderful spouse to, you know, enjoy life together. You know, whether it's your education, you want better education so you can get a better job to make more money to get a better spouse to, you know, and the list goes on. So, technically, if you really think about it, hope, just for a moment, is about life. It doesn't stand by itself. You know, the things are going to go wrong. They always do. It's the way life is. Now, an individual who usually overcomes, they overcome by one thing, usually. And that's, whether, you know, if you don't know the Lord, it doesn't matter. You know, the bottom line is this. The deciding factor is love. So you go from life to love. You know, having somebody in your corner to give you a word of encouragement, a hug, a kiss, pat on the back in those hard times, letting you know they're in your corner. Being there to say, you can do this. It's not that bad. Love. So it's not just about hope. Hope is about life. Life is about love. You want to overcome in this life? Love. You need it. Now, God Himself leads us by His love to His grace. I have unmerited blessing, grace. All right. Then to His gospel, which brings us to the foot of the cross. Then the blood, then the man Himself, Jesus Christ, His death and His resurrection. That's the event. That's how it goes. Now, as if that wasn't enough, He gives us the calling in our hearts and a measure of faith to respond to that love and grace that started it all. In other words, it is all God's work and nothing that we can do for ourselves. Now, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy, love, has caused us to be born again to a living hope. We're back to hope. It's alive. It's not dead. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. John 10, 9 through 11. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. It's all about love. Remember what I said, it's not about religion, but rather relationship. Jesus wants you to know him and the Father, and he wants a relationship with you. John 10, 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Does he know us? Does he know you? John 10, 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Do you follow the Lord? You know, we fall down. It's inevitable. We're still flesh and blood. We're not perfected yet. But do you follow him? And I give eternal life to them. Back to life again. And they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Now, at the start of this teaching, I told you that hope is in reality about a better life. Hope becomes alive because it doesn't stand by itself. It is joined with the Heavenly Father's love for you, making your hope firm in him. John 6, 63 through 65. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. But Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him of the Father. In Hebrews 4, 12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You can't hide anything from him. Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Life, birth, what a glorious thing. You know, it's a miracle brought about by an act of love between a husband and wife, resulting in the birth of a newborn child. Real hope is based on life and love. Then and only then will hope become real to you. Hope doesn't stand alone. It needs to be joined with other things, life and love. Now, let me explain this to you from scriptures. In John 3, we're going to do verse 1 through 8, and then we're going to continue after. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now Nicodemus, being a priest of Israel, and knowing the scriptures, couldn't understand what Jesus was saying. That it is God right from the beginning. That's what he was saying. It's God. So let me show you what I mean. In Psalm 139, verse 13 through 17, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, and how vast is the sum of them." It all begins with God. It ends with God. It begins with God making us. We didn't make ourselves. So our friend Nicodemus continues and probably says the exact same thing you and I have and would. Nicodemus said to him in verse 9, John 3, verse 9 through 11 actually, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and don't understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you don't accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." Back to God again. Yeah. You come to the light, you go to God, he saves you. Now, Nicodemus didn't realize that at this time that the only way to salvation was from God, by God, through God, and that we cannot save ourselves. Being a teacher, he never realized that. He was following the Old Testament, he was going by the law, but someone greater than the law was here, God himself in the flesh. Matthew 19:25-26. I used this one the last time. It says, when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, I'm not going to spend the time to give you the background. It's in Matthew 19. Then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. In Jeremiah 13:23, there's another one of those funny little scriptures I gave like in the last time. It says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then you also can do good who are accustomed to doing evil. We're sinners. We're sinners. We don't know how it is to do good. If you do good in one thing, you mess up in 20 others. It's just that simple. Luke 18:9. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Usually that's how we judge things. We look at somebody else who is worse than ourselves, and then we feel better about ourselves. Romans 3:9-12. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become useless. There is none who does good, there is not even one. Now we sing a song here, not too often, but it's called What a Beautiful Name It Is. It's by Hillsong Worship. Now, some of the lines go like this. You didn't want heaven without us, so you brought heaven down. My sin was great, but you were greater. My sin was great. Your love was greater. Sorry. You know, that's exactly right. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. In Romans 3:21-28, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It was spoken of right through. Nobody saw it. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace, unmerited blessing, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness. Notice his righteousness. Because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is the boasting? You know, trying to pat yourself on the back, saying you're a good person. There's none good, the word says. I didn't write that one down, but there isn't any. It is excluded. But what kind of law of works? No, by the law of faith. Can't get there by works. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. You know, God's ultimate plan in your life and what he will do, we're back to that word introduction. You need to be introduced. The gospel introduces you. Now this one I used last time, Colossians 1:26-27. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ezekiel 11:19, and I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. And I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Boy, I know that one. Colossians 2:2. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full of assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself. It's always God. God formed us, God saves us, God gives us grace, God sheds His love upon us. It's never about us. You cannot do anything to gain eternal life except acknowledge His Son and go to Him. Romans 5:5. We're back to hope. And hope doesn't disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Now I'm going to end with the next couple of scriptures. You know, go ahead, go and introduce yourself to the Lord if you don't know. Invite Him into your heart as both Lord and Savior. And begin with your relationship with Him. That's where it begins. Introduction's only a beginning. I mentioned that last time. You get introduced to your spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever the situation was. That was just the beginning. The relationship now comes. Now, Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're back to get yourself a Bible. Make sure that what you're hearing is right. Romans 10:8-13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Why? Because for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care about your color. He doesn't care about your creed. None of that matters. What He cares about is that you come to Him. Romans 5:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how good I'm doing on the time. So I guess we'll end here. All right, I'll give you one more little thing, which technically I'm all done. I'll put a Pastor Ron here. I'll give you a little parable. Modern day. Let's just say for a minute, you're in the market for a new vehicle. It's So you go to a dealership, you're outside looking at the different vehicles, and a dealer comes up. He asks you, you're in the market for a new vehicle? Of course you're going to say yes. And then you tell him, I want a vehicle that has unlimited warranty. I don't want to have to pay so much as a windshield wiper. I want this thing covered for life. He's going to say, yeah, we can do that. We have that. Right? So then he's going to ask you, obvious question, what vehicle do you want? Well, I want a sunroof, and I want mag rims, and I want a spoiler, and I want, got to have a big engine. I love sports cars. Got to have a big engine. Okay, we can come up with something like that. What kind of vehicle do you want? Well, I want... So my point is this. People want healing. They want peace, joy, love. They want salvation. They want everything, but they don't want the vehicle, which is Jesus Christ. That vehicle is the only vehicle with a lifetime warranty. It's the only vehicle with real peace, joy, love. But don't go for the options. Go for the vehicle. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We ask your blessing upon each and every member here, and we ask that you would just bless the food and drink. And if there is somebody that needs ministry, somebody will be here for that after the service. Amen. Thank you, Father.